You are Locked On Patriots, your daily New England Patriots podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All of you Foxborough faithful, and thank you once again for making Locked On Patriots a daily part of your New England Patriots coverage, and hopefully your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On Patriots is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. So smash that subscribe button on YouTube and download, subscribe to, and follow the Locked On Patriots podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, folks, today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Patriots listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement, so use the promo code Locked On at checkout. That's LOCKEDON. Foxborough faithful, thank you once again for joining me here on this weekend episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast. I'm your host, Mike DeBate. I also cover your New England Patriots for Patriot Country of Sports Illustrated. I am also your host of the Locked On Patriots podcast, which, of course, is a proud part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And folks, because it's your team every day, that means your questions, comments, and feedback are always welcomed. Very much appreciated. So share that feedback. Send it to the internet by reaching out to me and following me on Twitter at MDABATENFL. While you're out there doing some weekend wandering through that Twitterverse, please be sure to follow the Locked On Patriots account as well at LO_Patriots. Pats fans, as the rock group Thin Lizzy once enthusiastically declared in their 1976 hit of the same name, the boys are back in town, or at least they will be this coming Tuesday, June 7th. Organized training activities, otherwise known as OTAs, in the books, mandatory mini camp ready to go here in New England, Tuesday, June 7th through Thursday, June 9th. And your New England Patriots will once again be taking to the practice fields adjacent to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. And a lot to digest here when it comes to the Patriots and their approach to mandatory mini camp. Reimagine coaching staff. That's probably the biggest storyline coming out of New England right now. Everybody's worried about the offensive staff. Who's going to get the play calling duties? Will it be Joe Judge? Will it be Matt Patricia? Will it be a combination of both? Is Nick Caley going to take on a bigger role than just the tight ends coach? How are the Patriots going to fit in terms of quarterbacks? How is the loss of Bo Hardigree going to affect this team? Is Brian Hoyer going to take on a more on-field role with coaching the quarterbacks when it comes to Mac Jones in a player coach type of role, or will it simply be up to Joe Judge? At the end of the day, folks, my assessment is that it's most likely going to be on Mac Jones. But again, there is a lot of uncertainty, but I don't want to make it seem like it's just on the offense. It's on the defense too. The names may not be changing, but some of the roles and the approach may be tweaked a little bit. Steve Belichick, Gerard Mayo, still going to get the lion's share of the duties there, but things may change a little bit on the defensive side of the ball as the Patriots look to incorporate a little more speed and maybe a little bit more youth into that linebacking core and on the defense overall. But it's not just the coaching staff, folks. Veteran additions via free agency or via trade are going to make things very interesting. Devontae Parker at the wide receiver position. Malcolm Butler coming back for his second tour of duty. Free agent signings that may have gone under the radar for a lot of the national media, but here in New England, they're causing a lot of buzz. Guys like Ty Montgomery, Terrence Mitchell, those types of signings, how are they going to fit in when it comes to the New England Patriots approach in 2022? There's a lot there as well. And of course, the 2022 NFL draft class, headlined by one of the more controversial picks in Patriots history. Maybe the most controversial pick of all this year and throughout the entire draft. Cole Strange coming over from the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. How will he fit in? Is he primed for a starting position? A lot to cover, a lot to think about. And mandatory minicamp is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this. But it's mandatory, and it gives a lot of us here in the media, all of you out there, the fans, and of course the coaching staff and the Patriots top brass, an opportunity to look at this team and see what they might look like heading into the future. Training camp is going to be the big litmus test, but mini camp always gives us an indication as to who might pop a little bit. And no question about it, it's just one extra step now moving in that direction in the next phase in the preparatory process for the 2022 season. I'm psyched about it. I will be in Foxborough this week covering that boots on the ground. So be sure to keep it here to Locked On Patriots for all the latest developments when it comes to mandatory minicamp. But that being said, today I'm going to share with you some things that I'll be looking out for. I may have left out some of your favorite storylines, or you may think I'm off base with mine, or you might be in agreement. I would encourage you, share that feedback. Once again, send it to the internet or send it to the YouTube comments, and I'd be more than happy to take a look at what you might have your eye on. Perhaps you're seeing something that I don't, and I'd be happy to report back and give you all the information that you need to make sure that you all out there are as informed Patriots fans as you need to be. So as the team takes that step toward training camp, we're going to take a look here at some of my most intriguing storylines heading into mandatory minicamp. But first, Locked On Patriots listeners, summer is the season to make memories. And at BlueNile.com, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating the custom engagement ring of your significant other's dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as your significant other with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Build the engagement ring of their dreams or celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry. No matter what you're looking for, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. So make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Patriots listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. So use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON. Plus, every order is insured, it ships free, and it arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Patriots fans, it is a great time to be a sports fan. And if you're looking to test your sports knowledge and maybe even make a little something out of it, betonline.net is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports information. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's pro basketball finals and, of course, NHL, the Major League Baseball season, all there at betonline.net, because they are your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and learn more about the trends and the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Patriots fans, it is definitely a great time of year to be a football fan. Mandatory minicamp is always the start of something new. And even though training camp is much more fan interactive, there's a lot more to be excited about. Mandatory minicamp is the first option that you're going to have to see the team as it might be constituted heading into training camp and even into the season. Which guys are serious about showing up in shape, dedicated, ready to go? Who might be holding out for a contract? And also, bottom line, who might be playing for their proverbial life here in Foxborough? Anybody singing for their supper might find themselves doing so, starting with mandatory minicamp. And as the season progresses, as this time period for the New England Patriots starts to progress, there are some definite ideas and definite storylines that I have my sharp eye affixed on, and I'm going to share a few with you today. Again, this I may not touch them all, but if you do happen to have one, please, by all means, I would love to hear your feedback or hear your thoughts on what my thoughts are. Locked On Patriots is thoroughly interactive, and I always welcome feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. And we'll start with the left tackle position on the offensive line. And in the past, if you've listened to some of the past shows, if not, I definitely urge you to go back and listen to a couple of them, particularly my conversation with Evan Lazar of CLNS Media, and last Monday's conversation with my good buddy Murph, we've talked about Isaiah Wynn an awful lot. And obviously, he's the starting left tackle for the New England Patriots, and there's been some controversy around him, particularly because he was conspicuous by his absence during OTAs the past couple of weeks. That led a lot of us out there, myself included, about whether or not his days might be numbered in Foxborough. I know it sounds a little odd to say that a starting left tackle would possibly be on his way out, especially when the Patriots place such a premium on offensive linemen. But we'll get into my reasons on that in just a minute. One thing that you can count on is that even though Isaiah has been absent for voluntary OTAs, and I stress that again, attendance at OTA is voluntary, folks. The Athletic's Jeff Howe reported on Saturday morning that Isaiah is expected to report when the team begins mandatory minicamp on Tuesday. And bottom line, folks, that is good news. I know Isaiah has his detractors out there, but when he's healthy, Isaiah is one of the more fundamentally sound tackles in the NFL. A bit undersized at the position, if I'm being honest. This was a concern of mine, even coming out of Georgia, listed at 6'3", but his technique when he's on his game is as solid as anybody else out there in the league, and I stand by that. He's got quickness. He's got strength to win his battles when going one-on-one against edge rushers, and he can create openings for the running game. But last year, he had a few breakdowns, and unfortunately, he seemed to have those breakdowns at some of the worst and most inopportune times, which led to some difficulty for Mac Jones. So if there's some of you out there that are squeamish about Isaiah Wynn moving forward, that's where it's coming from, and that's where I do get it. But just think about this for a second. Even though I know 2021 was not really considered his greatest season, he still performed reasonably well. He made 15 starts during the regular season. He was fifth on the team's offensive unit. He took 915 snaps, 82.8%. So he was out there a good amount of time for an offensive lineman. He only allowed 6 sacks, 5 quarterback hits, earned an overall grade of 74.9. He was flagged for 9 penalties throughout the season. And again, those penalties, along with the 6 sacks that he gave up, probably gives you a little bit of pause when I say that Isaiah coming back to the Patriots is a good thing. You're probably thinking, well, maybe not. Maybe we'd be better off going elsewhere. The reason why I think a lot of people were concerned with Isaiah maybe going elsewhere is because it wasn't just an on-field fit that they were wondering about. It was also a financial windfall that the Patriots could possibly have if, in fact, they moved on from him. Entering the final year of his contract, hitting the Patriots books with a salary cap number of $10.4 million, New England did exercise that fifth-year option in his deal last spring, and that led a lot of people to believe that his return was pretty much a sure thing. But when you look at the fact that the Patriots looked to clear up north of $9 million in cap space, available cap space by trading him, well, you can see why some, maybe even some in the Patriots brass, were looking at their options when it came to Isaiah Wynn for the upcoming season. And that would make some financial sense. And if, in fact, the Patriots decide to do it, that'd probably be the deciding factor. But the fact that he's going to show up on Tuesday definitely bodes well for his future with the team. Attendance at OTAs, again, folks, I stress this, it's not mandatory, it is voluntary. That being said, that ebb and flow that he had to the season, the up and down inertia, the penalties, the sacks, some of the breakdowns in coverage, in my opinion, that provided enough adequate motivation for him to take part in OTAs these past couple of weeks. But we really don't know why Isaiah wasn't there. Maybe he decided he was going to work out on his own. Maybe he had some personal stuff going on. Again, because of the voluntary nature of these workouts, we probably won't know that until Isaiah either voluntarily allows that information or if someone were to find it out. But at this point, if Isaiah doesn't want to talk about it and nobody else seems to want to talk about it, then ultimately that remains his business. And I, for one, can't blame him for that. That's certainly something that he should keep to himself if he wishes to do so. But his presence on that line is not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed for one big reason. Isaiah Wynn right now, because of the fact that he does have a hefty contract, but he also has a great deal of suitors out there. I know the Raiders are thinking about it. A colleague of mine at Sports Illustrated, Richie Witt, wrote an article earlier this week about the Dallas Cowboys possibly being interested. That could force the Patriots' hand. And my observations at OTAs these last couple of weeks shows that the Pats may have something to bite on there. Rookie Cole Strange already playing a prominent role at practice at left guard. He's showing off his athleticism. This kid looks like he's ready to take that step, even in a rookie season. And while I don't look for him to be the unquestioned star on that offensive line, I think he may turn some heads and he may be able to surprise some people with that athleticism. When it comes to Isaiah, there are options that the Patriots may have if they choose to move on from him. We saw Trent Brown slot over and use the left guard position in the first training session that was available to the media. Unfortunately, Trent wasn't there for the second, and that meant that Yannick just had to come in and take those snaps for the Patriots at left tackle. I don't think Yannick is the answer there, but if Trent were to be amenable to moving back over to left guard, I can tell you that there are several members of the Patriots organization that are very high on Justin Heron and the job that he's done, not only last year, but also coming into OTA, looking a little bit more agile, looking a little bit stronger, and also looking like he studied the playbook a great deal in order to really get down the nuances of the Patriots offense. If Heron can really pop and show the Patriots exactly what he may be able to do at right tackle, may leave them with an interesting situation or an interesting decision, I should say. That's all going to be predicated on whether Trent Brown, however, is willing to move over. If Trent is not willing to do that, then Isaiah Wynn is definitely your best option there. At the end of the day, I believe Trent Brown will stay at right tackle. I believe Isaiah Wynn will stay at left tackle. And I believe that Justin Heron will probably be a swing option and maybe one of the better swing options in the league. Anytime you can keep your best players out on the field, you do it, even at the risk of carrying extra or additional cap space, even if Isaiah is willing to walk or ready to walk at the end of the season. I truly believe the Patriots are a better team with him at left tackle. And unless something breaks down or unless the Pats see something really good in their reserve options, moving on from Isaiah Wynn just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So the fact that he'll be there on Tuesday is good news for him, and I think it's one step forward to him taking his rightful spot on the offensive line this season. Another thing that's got me a little bit concerned, I don't want to say concerned, but another thing that caught my sharp eye was the use of new Patriots, wide receiver, running back, returner, hybrid option, and that's Ty Montgomery. Ty was a very under-the-radar signing when he came over from the New Orleans Saints this past offseason as a free agent. But I think in a lot of ways, his role during OTA indicates to me at least that the team has some pretty significant plans for him in 2022. James White is still recovering from hip surgery. He's been limited in practice. 2 weeks that we've seen him now, it's great to see James White back out there. I love seeing him back out on a football field, but there may be a little bit of progression that's needed there. And even if he doesn't start the season on PUP, or if he's not able to go fully and the Patriots have to bring him along a little bit, they're going to need someone that can fill that role of a pass-catching back that's capable of filling in on the offense and maybe even giving a boost to the return game. And that, to me, is Ty Montgomery. He was used in that role very prominently during the past 2 weeks. A lot of work as a pass catcher got worked out with the wide receivers during team drills. So Patriots are not just looking at him as a runner or a returner. They're counting on him to play a big role out of the backfield catching passes. And I think that's going to be his role this year. And as mandatory minicamp opens, if they continue to use him in that fashion, I think that's going to be telltale for how the Patriots look at Ty Montgomery, an offensive option on third down as well as a backfield receiver. Let's face it, this kid's strong suit is being a solid contributor as a hybrid receiver, hybrid running back, and also a kick returner. So I think in a lot of ways, he's going to settle into that receiving back role. If James White is healthy to start the season, I think he'll be the backup guy to him, maybe a third Z receiver option, something that aligns off the line of scrimmage. But ultimately, I think Ty Montgomery can align in those types of roles. And even if White can't go, you may see him take on the primary role for a time being. And if that's the case and he aligns as the third Z receiver, expect to see him work very closely with Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne. Given that prowess as a kick returner as well, he's going to compete for that role. So I like what I see out of Ty Montgomery, and I think you will as well. So in addition to the offensive line, I would look to see how they're going to deploy Ty. And to me, I think he has a chance to be one of the better signings that the Patriots made, may not make a whole lot of waves nationally, but this is the type of player that can really make an impact in New England, and I think he has the stuff to do it. Patriots fans, it's always fun to talk about these matters, and I am not done yet discussing these matters, because in just a moment, we're going to discuss some of the biggest difficulties that the Patriots had in 2021, as well as in the offseason, and the position that everyone has their eye on. We're talking linebacker speed, we're talking the return of Malcolm Butler, and we're also talking about the second-year leap by sophomore quarterback Mac Jones when this episode of the Locked On Patriots podcast continues. But first, we all know summer's coming. Mandatory mini camp this week, training camp not too far on the horizon. With summer, you're going to need some food on the go. And Built Bars, folks, are some of the best that you can get anywhere. These are some of my favorites, and I always make sure never to leave the house without them. They're a perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bag, in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everyone has a bar so you're fueled for your summer adventures. And the best part about Built Bars is they're healthy and they're delicious. No more sacrificing delicious food for health. With Built Bar, you can have both. And it's easy. All you have to do is go to Built.com and order now. All Built Bars, all the puffs, covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built Bar, you can eat healthy. You can actually enjoy doing it. So don't delay. Do it today. Visit Built.com. Enter the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your next order. That's Built.com with the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your next order. Built.com. Patriots fans, we're about to wrap it up and bring it all home here on Locked On Patriots today by talking about some of the biggest storylines, some of the most intriguing storylines that I have my eye on heading into mandatory minicamp. And in the previous segment, we talked a little bit about the offensive line. We talked a little bit about Ty Montgomery's role in the Patriots offense. And we're down to our final three here in Locked On Patriots land. And bottom line, one of the biggest changes that we may see the New England Patriots make this year is infusing a little extra speed and a little bit of youth into the middle part of that defense. One of the Pats' biggest defensive struggles in 2021 was a lack of speed in executing their coverage assignments. At times, they just looked a step too slow and, dare I say, maybe just a little bit too long in the tooth. One of the guys that I think is going to be key to this and someone who the Patriots are using very prominently in OTA, I look for that to continue in mandatory minicamp, is Raekwon McMillan. And here's why I think McMillan can thrive in the Pats defense. Signed the contract last year, one-year deal from the Miami Dolphins, expected to compete for a depth spot on the team's linebacking core. And he was really doing well in training camp. One of the guys I look forward to watching each and every day very early on. You could see him applying pressure to the quarterback, providing very good coverage in his assignments. And even though the Patriots had an upgraded depth chart last year, bringing back Kyle Van Noy, there was a lot of, you know, news about the Patriots linebacking core getting bigger. Matthew Judon signing a big deal in the offseason. McMillan was really making a strong case for a spot on that Patriots regular season roster. And I truly believe he would have had one, but for an ACL tear in training camp. And that ended his season before it started. But McMillan, to me, is expected to compete for a roster spot in 22. And I fully believe he'll get it this time around. His usage between the top options on the defensive side of the ball these past couple of weeks indicate that I think he's going to be given every opportunity, not just to get a roster spot, but also a pretty notable role with the Patriots linebacking core in 2022. I think at this point, because of the speed that he brings, because of the burst of power that he can bring to the linebacking core, this to me is going to be something that puts him over the top. And he is very well versed in being able to play the style of play that the New England Patriots like to play. Don't forget, down in Miami, played under Brian Flores. A lot of people make that correlation. And believe me, it's one worth making. When you play for a former Pats assistant, somebody that studied under Bill Belichick, you know his nuances, you know what he likes to do, not to mention that he also played for the Dolphins, who play the Patriots a couple of times a year. So there's a lot to bite onto there, but I love the way McMillan is really shaping up, and I expect him to do very good things in 2022. And for that reason, I'm going to have my eye on him a lot in training camp. I want to give an honorable mention to a couple of other guys as well, because it's not just about McMillan for me that's going to upgrade the linebacker position. Two guys that I think have a chance to make some waves, one a little bit more than the other. And they're both former Michigan linebackers. Cam McGrone, let's start with him first. 2021 draft pick, had to redshirt his first season. Well, basically not really even redshirt. He had to sit out through injury for his first season. But it's going to look likely that he's going to be able to be out there and healthy for 2022. And this is an excellent thing. He's got adequate size for the position, 6'1", 234 pounds. I think he has the potential to be a three-down player. When he was at Michigan, he played in only 19 games with 15 starts. That's a small sample size to scout him. So it goes to show you that in the limited amount of time that the Patriots looked at this kid, they were very impressed. Finished his collegiate career with the Wolverines with 91 tackles, 11 for loss, 4 sacks, 1 forced fumble. In that small amount of time, that's pretty impressive. Suffered the season-ending ACL injury versus Rutgers in November 2020. And as a result, his draft stock plummeted. Otherwise, I think this kid could have been a first-rounder, high-level second-rounder. That's how much I think he had to bring to the table. But because of the injury, you started to see him fall down the ranks. The Patriots were lucky to be able to get him where they did. The question is now, can he take that promise? Can he take what we saw in him at Michigan and translate it onto the field in Foxborough? That's going to be the difficult thing for him. He's got great speed. He's got a great first step, and he's got excellent instincts. One of the more instinctive players that I've seen come through Foxborough in quite some time. But there will be some blown coverage assignments. There will be some miscues. And the reason why is not because Cam McGrone's a poor football player, quite the opposite. It's because in all intents and purposes, folks, this is his rookie season. He's not going to be as crisp and as sharp as most people expect him to be. And the reason for that is simply because he just hasn't had the opportunity to see much time on a pro football field. Once he gets that opportunity and once he gets that experience, he will be one of the Patriots' cornerstones for this defense for quite some time. I fully feel confident in saying that. But if he doesn't quite come out of the gate and really blow the doors off the barn this time around, don't get too upset. Remember, he's still a rookie, and he's going to play like that a little bit this season. That being said, he is going to make a few plays this year that I believe are going to raise some eyebrows, and I look forward to seeing what this kid can do on the field. The other linebacker that gets an honorable mention to me, in addition to Raekwon McMillan, and the guy that I think can have maybe even the biggest impact of all three of these players, is former Michigan linebacker himself, Josh Uche. He was one of the Patriots' most highly touted rookies in 2020. He and Michael Wayne, who really kind of separated themselves as the gem of that draft class for the New England Patriots in 2020. But his following season in 2021 didn't really live up to expectations. He was on injured reserve in mid-November, had the ankle injury, so that probably stunted him a little bit. But he was used sporadically throughout the year. Only 8 games in the season, recorded 3 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 1 fumble recovery, and 12 tackles, one of those for a loss. And he spent most of that time as a rotational edge rusher. But I still like what I see out of Uche. And I think because the Patriots are looking for that infusion of speed, and they're moving away from the bigger lumbering linebackers, guys like Kyle Van Noy, who was a little long in the tooth last year, maybe even someone like a Dante Hightower, who plays the game in a different way. If Uche is allowed to turn on the speed in this opportunity, that's where I think his speed, his athleticism, and the system savvy he brings to the table is going to allow him to be a factor in the Patriots' defense as an edge rusher or even as an off-the-ball linebacker. And I think he can play in multiple sets, which is why he may have the potential to have the greatest impact of all. He can play on the line in the 5-1 looks. He can play the 4-2, the 4-3 alignment, and he can also move back if they run a more traditional 3-4. So his versatility combined with his speed, I think, gives Josh Uche a chance to make that next step. The only reason why I say McMillan is someone I'll watch a little bit more is because Uche's had a couple of years now in the system. So really, this is going to be a year where he has to make that leap. Otherwise, people are going to start to wonder. I think McMillan is playing with a little bit more house money in this circumstance, which is why I think he may be able to open more eyes and maybe be a little bit less criticized than some of his peers. So those are my linebackers right now that I am keeping my eye on. But As most of you know, the issues with the defense don't just end with the linebacking core. The cornerback system definitely suffered a major loss with the departure of J.C. Jackson. And a lot of people think they haven't recovered yet. I still think this is the biggest hole on the Patriots roster, and I still think another body can be brought in to try to help. That being said, I do love the addition of Malcolm Butler, and not just for the nostalgia, folks. I think the second tour of duty coming back, it's a heartwarming story, but I think the contributions that he can make on the field will decide his success, and I think this will be a successful return for him. I don't necessarily believe he needs to channel his days as a Pro Bowler like he was back in 2015 or that second team All-Pro turn that he had in 2016. Murph and I discussed this a little bit last Monday, and I'll expand on my thoughts a little bit because I think he only needs to be what he did in his final year with the Tennessee Titans. 111 tackles, 4 interceptions, 14 passes defensed, among the league's best cover corners when he left the game, even though he did take a year off. I think it's going to be a situation where he can return at least to that form. And if he does return to that form, Patriots have a very good cover corner coming in for zone coverage. I think the Patriots are going to look to zone a little bit more. They didn't bring in a man coverage corner either by the draft or by free agency. So unless one of those guys breaks free and the Patriots can go after him in a late training camp or, you know, maybe a cut prior to the season, bring in a free agent that has had the opportunity to get a little bit of, pro reps under him, I think they're going to be relying on a little bit more zone coverage in 2022. And if that's the case, then I think Butler is the right guy to be able to navigate that. We did see a good amount of coverage thrown his way during the last couple of weeks of OTA. Interestingly enough, on the perimeter, Jack Jones saw an awful lot of time, and this is a guy that I think people are not really talking about enough. I love the way Jones can align, and if he can get a job as an outside corner on this team, even if he doesn't start early on in the season, I think he could progress toward the starting role by the end of training camp, maybe by the middle part of the season, because I think this guy definitely gets it. He understands the Patriots system, and because of that, I think he's positioning himself as a dark horse candidate to earn a real prominent role in New England's secondary for the 2022 season. Great man coverage skills, great instincts. And again, we've talked about this here on the show before, and I think Evan discussed it with me as well a couple of weeks ago when he joined me. The off-the-field issues were the problem with Jack Jones. It definitely wasn't his on-field potential. So because of that, Patriots may have scored a gem here, and if they can keep him focused and they can keep him aligned, and so far so good, he's done very well during his time at Arizona State. This could be another player very much under the radar that really has an impact on New England for the 2022 season as a rookie. Well, folks, it's almost time to wrap things up, but I couldn't do it in good faith without talking about the quarterback position, because that is the position that everyone's watching. For better or for worse, all eyes are still on the quarterback position, and Mac Jones tops the list for that reason. A lot of people still have questions about Mac's arm strength. They have questions about his ability to move forward. They have questions about his ability to lead this team. I don't have questions about any of those. I feel very confident in Mac's ability to be able to do all three. And the reason for that is not so much on reputation. It's not so much because we know that he worked with Tom House in the offseason. It's not even that he looks leaner. He looks better equipped to handle the rigors of a season, maybe a little bit better shape. We're hearing all the thoughts and everything about how he's conditioning himself better, how he's sleeping a little bit better. I think those are definite factors, but to me, the one thing that stands out about Mac Jones is the leadership he's showing on this team. He's commanding this team with a swagger that he didn't have last year. He's no longer a rookie. He knows he's got the job. Bailey Zappe aside, and I understand a lot of people are excited about this kid. I am too. I can't wait to watch him start to air it out in practices that are open to the public and hearing the oohs and ahs from all the fans. I like Bailey Zappe, and I think he's going to be a great addition here. But he's not going to be the starter, at least not this year. And at this point, barring any unforeseen circumstances, of course, let me put that out there. But Mac knows that this is his team. And guys like Devontae Parker, guys like Malcolm Butler, guys who didn't play with him last year, but know his capabilities, watched him from afar, or played against him in the case of Parker, understand that this kid comes in with a leadership ability now. He knows that this team needs him to be the unquestioned leader of this team. And if that's the case, Mac Jones has definitely showed that. The Patriots are giving him every opportunity. Last Tuesday was really a glorified walkthrough. There were very, very little opportunities to really track what these guys were doing in terms of statistics. But the previous Monday, the opening day of OTAs in Patriots land on May 23rd, completed 11 of 14 passes and 7-on-7 drills, connected on 7 of 9 in full team drills, and really showed a great deal of synergy with Kendrick Bourne. Bourne went up there, made a one-handed catch. Mac went right over to him. These two were celebrating like they had just won the Super Bowl. This type of enthusiasm and this type of leadership can be infectious, and it can be something that teams can build off of, especially teams that struggled a little down the stretch last year. Patriots had one little stretch where they were one of the best teams in football and then kind of fell off. And I think they fell off a little bit because they faced, dare I say, better competition. And also because I think they felt some of their growing pains arrive at the most inopportune times. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think that in terms of what Mac is showing, whether his off-season workout regimen, incorporating that healthy diet, look leaner, and also showing a lot more prowess in his arm strength, that's going to be a very big step for him. And in a lot of ways, I think it's going to help him fit in a little bit better in terms of his synergy with Joe Judge coming up. Now, we know Judge is going to be a little bit more involved in the play calling. We know he's going to primarily be working with the quarterback. So Mac is going to need to be as much of a teacher to Judge as Judge is going to need Mac to be a student of his. And that may scare some people when I say that, but believe me, that back and forth relationship is not as bad as it sounds. Mac Jones being able to take that leadership role really speaks very highly of him, and it shows his understanding of the Patriots offense. So before people get a little too squeamish, definitely look at what Mac can do. I can't wait to see how he looks in mandatory minicamp. And now that the bright lights are going to be on him a little bit more, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what these guys can do all the way around from start to finish. Folks, we've only scratched the surface when it comes to mandatory minicamp coverage, but our coverage for today is over. Those are my thoughts. Those are my opportunities to share with you of things that I'll have my sharp eye on when mandatory minicamp begins on Tuesday. But what are you keeping your eye on? Did I hit any of your favorites? Did I leave any out? Please let me know your feedback. Subscribe to the Locked On Patriots podcast on YouTube, and definitely download, subscribe to, and follow Locked On Patriots wherever you get your audio podcasts. I thank you all once again from the bottom of my heart for listening today, but also for making Locked On Patriots your first listen every day. Don't forget to tune in on Monday when my good friend, the legendary Count of Murphy Fisto himself, Thomas Murphy of E2SheSports.com, joins me so we can discuss our thoughts on what the Patriots might do in mandatory minicamp. We'll get Murph's musings on Monday, and it's great to have him back on Locked On Murph Monday. So until then, stay safe, Locked On Patriots listeners. Stay well. Be the change that you wish to see in the world. Have a great day, everyone. A great weekend, and we'll see you next time here on Locked On Patriots.